everyone's a winner at Currys, because you can claim a guaranteed reward of between £10 and £2,500 on selected energy-efficient tech. Like the LG InstaView American-style side-by-side fridge freezer. Just knock on the door to see what's inside without opening it, letting cold air out and using more energy. Now that's another win right there. Going beyond expectations at Currys. UK only, by selected appliances from 31st of the 1st to 19th of the 3rd, 24. Claim 32 to 42 days post-purchase. Receipt, one use only. T's and C's online.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
Hello. 5 minutes after 12 is the time. I thought I'd just read a couple of these out to give you a flavour of the last 2 hours of the programme that you may have missed. Jamie in Glasgow writes, O'Brien, you are far too clever to be acting this stupid. Well, this text from exactly the other side of the field says the vote was never about Gaza. It was all about trying to embarrass Labour. And when that didn't happen, they threw their toys out of the pram. But I think I'll leave you with this one. That was the most boring 2 hours of your show I've ever listened to. Thank God for Mystery Hour. The second bit of that sentiment, I think, is something with which we can all agree. I suppose technically you'd have to believe in God, which probably excludes many people. But on we go. 5 minutes after 12 is the time. Your weekly opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction not ordinarily available anywhere else on your radio dial. If you have a question that needs solving, a mystery that needs unravelling, a conundrum that needs fixing, then you know what to do. And once you've done it, someone else can ring in and provide the answer. That's pretty much it. My favourite contributor wins a Mystery Hour board game. There's no particular criteria for this. It's a bit like being in a nightclub. The management's decision is final. If you're not on the list, you're not coming in, or something like that. Of course, if you are not lucky enough to win a board game, you can still buy one from mysteryhour.co.uk, where hours of fun to be had. In fact, a pal of mine, I think I told you this last week, plays it without the board, just uses the cards as a kind of dinner table game or when you go out to the pub game and you want to play a game with the kids over the meal. It works perfectly for that as well. But anyway, find out more about it at mysteryhour.co.uk. If you're not familiar with it, then just stick around and you soon will be. Let's start in Winchester. Tom is in Winchester. Tom, question or answer?
Question, please.
Carry on, Tom.
Has there ever been a conspiracy theory that at the time was deemed crazy, etc., and derided, that actually turned out to be true?
Oh, dear. You know what's going to happen now.
Tell me.
Well, everyone's going to ring in to claim that theirs is.
Oh. You're much closer to this kind of thing than I am.
I am. I mean, the last thing we need is a bunch of people ringing us to tell us that the vaccines don't work, COVID didn't exist, the moon landings never happened, 9/11 was an inside job, and all the rest of it. So what criteria will we deploy, Tom, to determine truth? Or fact. I mean, I could answer this myself and take a round of applause and close it down immediately.
Oh, no.
Because I'm pretty sure that in America, in Prohibition-era America, there was a conspiracy theory that the government was poisoning alcohol in order to stop people drinking, and that actually turned out to be true.
Okay.
Does that count?
I don't see how it can't. If we agree that the definition of true is some sort of emphatic...
Subsequently proved beyond doubt that it actually happened.
Then you have answered my question. Well, you've given an example. Yes. The other one that might be interesting, but...
I'm going to leave it on the board, but I'm not having anything that hasn't been proved beyond reasonable doubt. And that does not involve citing your Uncle Keith's Facebook page as the authoritative source for the... I like the question. What prompted it?
Occasionally there are sort of, crazy stories or sort of wild reporting that makes me think, gosh, that could turn into a conspiracy theory. And,
yes.
And then on some occasions... I've been close to them, so I can, ask someone who is actually close, and they go, "No,
sure.
It's just lazy reporting." And you must get this all the time.
A little bit. No. I mean, it goes up and down. Obviously, during lockdown, the whole COVID period was particular, and still is. In fact, as Rachel, thank you, Tom. You're on the list. Have any conspiracy theories, or possibly even what's the biggest conspiracy theory that turned out to be irrefutably true? But as Rachel Clark told us, actually, on Monday, didn't she, the doctor, palliative care doctor and author who wrote the book upon which this ITV drama, Breathtaking, is based, told us that she was braced for all manner of abuse from people who refused to believe either that the virus was real or that the vaccines were an effective way of controlling it or limiting its spread. And she was right. Everything from death threats down, directed at doctors. I mean, crikey. It's a mark of how mad things can be. 9 minutes after 12 is the time. Alan is in Liverpool. Alan, question or answer?
Question, James.
Carry on, Alan.
TV announcers.
Yeah.
I think they, are they called continuity announcers?
I believe they are, yes.
Who tell you what you're about to watch.
Yeah.
In between announcements, what do they do? Because if they're getting paid 30 or 40 grand a year for every hour or so saying the news is on next, great job.
It's not a bad job watching telly. Hey, it's a bit like working in a chocolate factory, though, isn't it? I bet that actually if you had to watch telly all day, every day, it would get boring pretty quickly. But I can think
do they use them as researchers or editors or something in between?
I wouldn't have thought so, because they've got to be there in case things go wrong, haven't they?
Yeah. So they're just going to be sitting there twiddling their thumbs. I mean, if they put Ben Hare on BBC.
On the BBC. I mean, I take your point, because there's no adverts. They've got a nice three-hour...
Exactly. Yeah.
Three-hour fit. You could have a nice snooze, set an alarm. But Ben Hur could go wrong halfway through, so you've got to be on constant alert. I don't think it's as easy. I think about it, the less easy it sounds, actually. Constant alert. It's a bit like Keith's job,
So
Keith is listening to this programme, supposedly, and I don't think he'll mind me saying, I'm not sure this is actually the case, but supposedly he's listening to this programme more closely than everybody else.
Has he got his eyes closed?
He does occasionally look a little soporific, but only after he's eaten a banana. And so he's waiting to hear if you, for example, swear or libel somebody.
He's like a coil spring.
Yes, he is like that. And he's got a variety of ways. There's one big button, actually, that he would press in the event of you doing something that we can't risk being broadcast. And the delay would kick in. But what you wouldn't do if there were no adverts, you'd just say, well, he just sits there for an hour. Doesn't he? Waiting for the news, and he has to fire the news. He has to alert the news. So I think it is actually a little bit more.
The broadcasters aren't really getting much bang for the buck, though, are they?
I'm putting it on the list.
If nothing goes wrong.
I'm putting it on the list. The question becomes, what do continuity announcers do the rest of the time?
Continuity announcing.
Yeah, when they're not continuity announcing. They used to be on screen. How old are you?
I'm 62.
Yeah, you remember then. They used to be on screen. They used to be local celebrities. Do you not remember? It would cut back. There was a bloke on ATV, or Central as it became. His name was Mike Prince, which is a fantastic name for a TV type. And he was a celebrity in his own right, despite, as far as I recall, he was only the continuity announcer on regional ITV.
All right. And I've noticed up here, I'm on in Liverpool, we get announcers with northern accents. Now, are they heard all over the country, or are they regionally accented?
Well, all I can tell you is that here in London, I also get continuity announcers with northern accents. So I presume that
you get one called Katie, she sounds like she's from Chorley.
And she tells you they tell you their name now, don't they? They say, I'm Alan, I'm with you for the next whatever, and up next it's Pointless or some antiques business. There's always some antiques business on. You're on. I like it. What do they do the rest of the time? Although I suspect the answer is relatively obvious and actually quite a lot, but I like that question. I think Mike Prince actually opened the fete at my sister's school once, such was the status of his celebrity back in the day. 12:13 is the time. Terry is in Chelmsford. Terry, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on.
Now, this is a question that keeps me awake at night, bizarrely, because it's about sheep.
Oh, yeah. How apt.
No. Yeah, I've been working on that all day, and I'm here all week. So the word sheep, it's singular and plural.
Yeah.
Now, I'm struggling to think of another animal that's singular and plural.
Fish.
I mean, you don't have sheep.
Fish.
Now, that's what your researcher said, but you can have
great
fishes,
minds.
Can't you?
Yeah, you can have fishes. You can have sheep.
So, no, you can't have sheep, can you?
Yeah, you can.
How can you?
Yeah.
If I was to say to you...
You can have what you want, mate. It's my show.
How many sheep have you got? You'd say, what? Sheep?
No, sheep. Several sheep.
Have you ever heard anyone say sheep?
No. Llamas, giraffes, lions, tigers... Fishes.
Luca
Brasi. Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes. He sleeps with the fishes.
He doesn't sleep with the fish, does he? Or the sheep?
Oh, I'm waiting for my text. What I'm doing, I'm keeping you talking while my texts ignite and people...
Googling it.
No, I'm not Googling it. I'm keeping you talking while someone send it to me.
Okay.
I'm just waiting to see. No one sent anything yet, Terry. Yeah. It's all clear so far.
Nothing
happening there. I'm an ITV announcer. I've got this one, and we just sit there and watch the tape. I've got one. Ready? Right. Ready?
Go on.
Deers.
Can you have deers?
Just refresh the old screen. See, I'm just refreshing the old screen-a-rooney. See if I can get another one.
No, I think you can have deers.
You can't have deers. No, that's like two old deers. That's D-A. That's D-E-A-R, you cheat. It's not D-double-E-R, is it? Two old deers.
Well, what about moose? Is that a moose or mooses?
Meese is the plural of moose.
Is it?
Yes.
All right, meese.
This is several meese.
No, that's coming from a kid's cartoon. I hate those meeses, isn't it? When it's
buffalo.
Tom and Jerry.
Buffalo.
Buffaloes. No, you have buffaloes.
No, buffalo. A herd of buffalo.
Yeah, but you can have two buffaloes. You don't say, look, there's two buffalo.
Buffalee.
You say two buffalo. Buffalee.
Two buffalee, isn't it? Two buffalee.
No.
Cattle?
I think it's...
No, cattle doesn't work because you don't have a singular of cattle. Deer is... I mean, lots of people are just... I mean, zebra. You say there's two zebras.
Zebras?
Yeah. So zebras. What's the question anyway?
Why is it that we're... Why is it that it's singular and plural? Why can't we say sheeps?
I like it. It's a good question, actually. So how many sheep have you got? One sheep, two sheep, three sheep, four sheep, five sheep, six sheep, seven sheep, eight sheep. Yeah, all right, you're on. It rings a bell, actually, Terry. I think we might. Someone might. It might even be in the board game. But if I can't remember, it never happened. That's the rule. That's how it goes.
I can't think of anything else that you know. Sheep,
wildebeest.
Wildebeests.
Antelope. Yeah, well, stop sending me these stupid antelopes. These are all mooses. I think the plural of moose is moose. Actually, two moose, three moose, four moose, five.
Well, I don't know.
Six moose.
James,
seven.
I work on this stuff all week, longing for Thursday.
Well, here it is. Here's your moment. This is to paraphrase Martine McCutcheon. This is your moment.
Thank you.
Let's find
Thank
out
you.
For you. Why is sheep the same word for singular and plural? Why? And if you can come up with something else to which that applies, I do not know. It is 17 minutes after 12, and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. My old mate, this is something that you say as a radio presenter, once you achieve a certain status, my old mate Gordon Astley has been in touch. He was a brilliant broadcaster back in the day in exactly the same patch where Mike Prince worked as a continuity announcer, and he tells me that his dad was an InVision ATV announcer. I did not know that. You can come on, Gordon, but only if you can get through. I can't be doing VIP treatment, even for a mate. You've got to come through the switchboard like everybody else does. But the question remains, and also it may have changed since your dad's day. Have people been listening to this programme for long enough to know what should immediately spring into your mind when you hear the name Gordon Astley? I say, Gordon Astley sent me a text. The finest radio jingle in the history of radio jingles. Do you remember it? Gordon. I used to sing it, but I'm getting too old. Gordon, drives away your boredom. If you wake up feeling ghastly, tune in to Gordon Astley. One of the great curses of being called James O'Brien is that I will never have a jingle as perfect as that.
As Helen opened her Amazon parcel, her stomach filled with butterflies, rapid air technology and a grill mode feature, this air fryer tickled Helen's taste buds for a price lower than she'd ever imagined. 5 stars from Helen. With star reviews from you and star prices from us, start your search on Amazon today.
History Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
21 minutes after 12. It wasn't an invitation to you to write some, but I'll read the ones that you have sent in. James, he shoots them down in flames. If you prefer the truth to lying, tune in to James O'Brien. But the problem is there's no G on the end of my name. A lot of you have gone for this. It reminds me of the great Steve Wright, actually. It's serious jocking. If the world makes you feel like crying, why not tune in to James O'Brien? I quite like that one. This one less so. James O'Brien, he makes you so bored you want to iron. Yeah, thank you. And James has his own board games. If you're sick of Tories lying, tune in to James O'Brien. They're not really, I mean, you think you're proving my point. actually. A lot of you going for that. James loves playing games. If you're fed up of the line, tune in to James O'Brien. Oh, that's not, maybe. Anyway. Hannah is in Woking to take us back to the serious matter of mystery. Hannah, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on.
So we say that there are some animals that mate for life, kind of penguins, swans, etc.
Humans.
Humans, yeah, exactly. Is that true all of the time? Obviously not for the humans' case, but for animals' case. Does that mean that they never break up, or are there some times that they kind of there are breakups when?
I think there was a story about this not long ago, wasn't there? I can't remember what it was, but it may have even been in a zoo. Is it two animals that mated for life broke up? One of them went off with another one. Would it be pandas? No. I don't know. So that's the question. So a species that ostensibly mates for life, we're not going to find like the one that has done it for longest, but we just, like a penguin, has a penguin ever left a penguin? It sounds like a riddle.
Yeah, exactly. And then, but why? Hang on,
you're only allowed one question, Hannah. You get the what or the why.
So,
if you came to me and said, I read a story about two penguins in Dudley Zoo who'd been together for 40 years and then he left her or she left him, why? That would be permissible. But your question is already, has a penguin ever left a penguin? So you can't then add a why to it.
No, okay, fair enough. I'll go for the what then.
So a species that ostensibly mates for life has split up.
Yep.
Actually, now I want to know why as well.
Exactly.
If it happens. All right, I'll see what I can do. I wouldn't hold your breath on this one. Seriously, keep your receipt, because I don't know that we're going to get a full full answer to it. I don't know who would know. But I've got a vague memory in the back of my mind. Someone else says, I'm sure it was pandas. Thank you, Hannah. Jason is in Chiswick. Jason, question or answer?
It's an answer.
Carry on.
I'm the ITV announcer, and we sit and watch telly in between announcements.
How long is the shift? How long is the shift?
I've been doing ITV announcing now for about 14 years.
Really? And how long is an actual shift? When you're in the job?
Say that again, sorry.
How long is it? I don't know why I'm shouting. You're on the phone, not in the next room. How long is an actual shift? So how many hours do you do a turn without a break?
So we used to do daytimes as well, but we start at 4 and our last announcement is going into the news at 10.
So that's you. You do 6 hours.
6 hours.
I like it. How do you all you do, you sit there waiting for the telly, and if something goes wrong, either an alarm goes off, you'll always get an instruction, will you? Or are you autonomous? Do you make a decision to actually cut in? And
no, we'd get an instruction, but yeah. I mean, you know, it's a basic standard one. If the TV falls off air, for instance, it happened to me once when this morning went off air for 12 minutes, and I sat there for 12 minutes saying, we are hoping to fix the issue and get back to this morning as soon as we can.
And that was it? You didn't take the opportunity to give them some of your best material? Well, yeah. Mate, that could have been a Hollywood movie. Everything could have changed that day, Jason.
I wish I'd done it now. Never mind.
How much freedom do you have? Is it scripted, or do they trust you to do it yourself?
We get a synopsis about all the programmes and stuff, but we write all our own scripts, and they all get approved on a daily basis. Yeah, and then it's down to us. Sometimes we'll back reference if something's worth, like if someone wins big on the chase or something.
Yes.
Things like that, but no, it's standard stuff, really.
And how much variation is there in the amount of time you have to fill? Because some programmes, presumably, they come in a bit under what was scheduled for, and some come in a bit over.
Yeah, so basically, an ident, I'd say, on average, an ident is a thing going into a programme.
Yeah.
And we usually get about 10 seconds, or it's up to 15 seconds sometimes to tour. We'll never really fill that, though. And on the end credits, it's usually a 15-second menu to say what's coming up or to point to other things, like
business
on ITVX and things like that.
Of course. I like it. That's a very comprehensive answer. When are you on next?
There you go. 29th. I'll be back in on the 29th. That's my next shift.
Everyone's going to be listening on ITV1, on normal ITV. 4 p.m.
ITV1.
4 p.m, 29th of February. Right,
exactly.
It's a
listen
date.
Out for me.
We'll see you there, Jason. Mind that. Have a
there,
round
mate.
Of applause in the meantime. Top man.
Thank you, sir.
You take
Cheers,
care.
Mate.
I'll see you in the Chiz one day, no doubt. 26 after 12 is the time. Lucy is in Greenwich. Lucy, question or answer?
Hi, James. It's a question.
Carry
about,
on.
You know, when you're young and you have a temperature,
yeah.
and your mum would get a cold flannel out and put it on your head and
yeah.
keep wringing it out until
yeah.
your temperature went down.
Yeah.
Well, apparently that's been dangerous now by the NHS, and they just say you should give them cowpole. But
really?
It doesn't. Yeah, really. My grandson keeps on having heat seizures because she's not getting the fennel out because she's told it's dangerous.
But who told her it was dangerous?
The doctors, the hospital.
Really? A cold fennel?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't doubt you.
It baffled me, James.
Well, I just don't. I don't know if it's true. I mean.
Well, that's what she's been told, and he's had them four times.
But what's he got? What's the condition? Sorry, I don't want to make light of it.
Let's say if you got a temperature. You
no, I know that. I know that. But I'm pretty sure the NHS advice is still to stick a bag of frozen peas on your head, wrapped in a tea towel. So, what is wrong with your grandson? What has happened to your grandson four times?
Well, just getting a temperature,
and that's
you know, fluid type thing.
All right.
And then the next thing is he's having a seizure.
Oh, God. Okay.
I know. I mean, I know that the actual having a heat seizure isn't dangerous, has no long-term
get it for a bump on the head. You'd use a cold comp for a bump on the head, but for temperatures...
Well, you wouldn't, yeah.
I don't know. So what's the question?
I mean,
why is it dangerous?
Going on forever. Why is it dangerous? Why can't she do that, bring the temperature down? Because my mum did it, and I did it for my children.
Yeah.
So, if anyone from the NHS has got the answer
I'm working on the presumption that you're right, you see. So,
yeah, well, do, because that
well,
is
I
what
have to, don't
told.
I? Okay,
countless
so
times.
Why has she been told, why has Lucy's daughter been told countless times not to put a cold flannel on her grandson's head when he's got a fever, when he's got a temperature?
Thank you, James.
No, thank you, Lucy. I shall try and get you an answer. It's taken me by surprise, that one, as you can probably tell. Matt's in Sheffield. Question or answer?
It's a question, but I've got an answer for that last caller, but I really want my question answering, so
Fair enough.
Not going to answer that one.
No, well, you're not allowed to anyway, although I was quite tempted to let you for some weird reason.
But I'm qualified. I'm a children's nurse.
Should we let him do? No, all right, Keith. Sorry, mate.
Rules are rules.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Matt. Okay, carry on. I invented the rules.
Good. Right, so anyway, it's my daughter's 13th birthday today.
Oh, happy days.
Thank you. children's birthdays, filling up helium balloons.
Yes.
Always makes me think, when I'm filling the balloon full of helium, is the can of helium getting lighter or heavier as it empties?
Remind me why it might be getting lighter. Because the helium's coming out.
I think it's getting heavier. Because the helium's coming out.
But the helium is lighter than air. It's not lighter than a vacuum.
Yeah. But the can's full of helium pushing it up.
Yeah.
So as you empty it, it should get heavier.
But what's... No, because that presumes that it's filling up with air rather than a vacuum. An empty helium canister is either full of air or full of a vacuum, isn't it?
Oh, you're right. So what does a vacuum weigh?
Well, nothing.
I don't know, my shark's quite heavy.
And that's why... But, oh, I see what you did there. That was awful. Yeah,
very,
that was absolutely appalling. If you'd said Dyson, I think the joke would have landed sooner, wouldn't it?
No, I don't have a Dyson.
No, I know you don't have a Dyson, but it's a bloody joke. It doesn't have to be fact-checked, does it? Honestly. But I think that's why the canister is so thick, because it is a vacuum, and if it wasn't, then the pressure would... Do you remember at school when you did it with an oil can? Did you ever do that?
No.
You put a bit of water in the bottom of an oil can and then you put it on a Bunsen burner and all the steam forces all the air out of the can and then you screw the lid down tight and the steam condenses, leaving a vacuum behind, and the pressure actually crushes the can from the outside. You watch the metal can crush without anyone touching it in real time. That must be why the canister you described, and we've all had them on our daughter's birthdays, that must be why the canister is so thick.
Qualification?
Well, I don't know, but Keith's shaking his head.
I agree with Keith.
Right. So does a helium canister get heavier or lighter as you use it?
Yeah. Thank
all
you.
Right, you're
yeah,
on. What else have you got lined up for the birthday girl?
Making sushi later, because we're trying to be very middle class.
Oh, well, I like that a lot. Fantastic. Have you bought the little mats that you roll it in or something?
I've already got them. We like a bit of sushi.
Is it? And what, you special delivery, or do you just go down to the fishmongers and get some nice stuff? How does it work?
Well, I wanted some fresh tuna, because we eat it raw, but it's Tesco in Alfreton doesn't have any. So,
Are you going to do the voice with the helium thing when the kids are there?
You have to.
You have to do that. Finally, a bit of advice for you, Matt. Seeing as you, like me, are a middle class seafood aficionado, I had an oyster yesterday. I actually bought some oysters and took them home, and I ate an oyster. And then, probably unwisely, immediately after eating an oyster, I ate a couple of mini eggs, a couple of Cadbury's mini eggs. And it had never occurred to me before that an oyster shell, a little splinter of oyster shell, is very, very similar on the tongue to a little splinter of Cadbury's mini egg shell. And the last thing you want to do is crunch down on a little bit of oyster shell, thinking that it's a little bit of Cadbury's mini egg shell. You can have that for nothing, mate.
Thank you. Advice taken.
It's 12:32. Tim Humphrey has your headlines.
Shop hundreds of big deals right now at AO. There are huge savings on electricals big and small from the hottest brands like Hotpoint, Hisense and De'Longhi. Whether you're buying in distress, to refresh or just need it express, we've got what you need at great prices and finance options that work for you. Discover even more deals from the UK's most trusted electrical retailer. Shop now at AO.com. Let's go. To verify, visit AO.com/trust.
Your future, full of possibilities, like travelling the world or welcoming a new member to the family. Unlock your potential with an investment portfolio managed by Nutmeg, built with your financial goals in mind, with access to free financial guidance whenever you need it. Make the most of your ISA allowance by the 5th of April before it resets. Invest in your future today. Search Nutmeg ISA. Capital at risk. Tax treatment depends on your individual circumstances and may be subject to change.
Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. This is LBC.
It is a phrase I use a lot, but it's been a very accurate one over the last 14 years. Client journalism was dedicated not that long ago to wondering whether, I'm sure in very, very good faith, wondering whether the Labour Party's decision to resile from its £28 billion commitment to net zero spending, and of course the short delay caused largely by the Daily Mail's failure to publish all of the information it had about the Labour Party candidate in Rochdale immediately, was perhaps signs that Keir Starmer's grip on the leadership was loosening. I think I heard some people suggest that he was standing in front of an open goal and fluffing it. And so interesting to see the first YouGov poll that has come in, fieldwork done on the 20th and 21st of February, which has Labour 26 points ahead of the Tories now. The Tories back on 20 points, down 4. Labour up 2 to 46. And that, of course, has unfolded after the Rochdale unpleasantness and after the net zero massive U-turn, depending on what newspapers. All right, there you go. It's only a poll, but an interesting one. Let's get back to Mystery. It's much more interesting. Glenn's in Basildon. Glenn, question or answer?
Answer, mate. Sheep and pluralisation. What's all that about?
Yeah, go on then.
So, basically, the original word for sheep is the Anglo-Saxon sheap, S-C-E-A-P. And for some reason, it wasn't plural then either.
Skiap. Well, that's not good enough. For some reason, that's not like you.
No, seriously, this is one of the first. It's actually pronounced sheap, S and C in Old English, mate, the modern SH sound.
Sheap.
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 But, sheap.
Sheap.
Yeah, something like that. But, this actually came up in the very first book I read on Anglo-Saxon language and Old English.
Oh, yeah.
And he literally states in the book, the author, he's like, and nobody knows why that particular word or several other, like fish, for example, again, although you can pluralise fish in modern English, in Old English you didn't.
In modern English, I think if you've got species, two different species of fish,
yeah,
you talk about
fishes,
fish plural.
In Old English, there is no plural.
Is that
so
right?
It's just fish. And again, fish is spelled F-I-S-C in Old English.
That's
but again, there is no plural. But what we can do, and this occurred to me while I was on hold, actually, with, we pre-pluralise the word. So we say, look at that sheep, or look at those sheep.
In
Old English, you would say either fat or thumb, as in that and them.
Are you getting better? When did you first ring me with your Anglo-Saxon scholarship?
About 10 years
ago.
It was
about 10 years. And over that decade, have you got better?
Better at picking it up. Definitely. I'm better at hearing it a little bit more.
Like, right.
I don't hear it spoken very often.
Well, you wouldn't, would you, Glenn?
No, not really. Unless I go on a YouTube video or watch a TV show where they speak it, but very rarely.
Do they get it right in things like in some of those old dramas? Or are you talking about Open University?
Before I went off Vikings, I kind of picked up there a few times. And sometimes when I listen to poetry online or something, I can pick up bits and pieces, and sometimes I can pick up whole sentences, which is always a little bit exciting.
Wow. And can you, I mean, have you got any mates that you can talk to? Is anyone else doing it?
I do have a friend who is fluent and actually a written author on the subject.
Wow.
But I don't see him very often. He's one of my LARP buddies, and I don't see him very often.
But you could phone him.
No, he's too busy. He's busy. I don't know what he does now.
He's one of your buddies?
Live action role play buddies. I met him through live action role play hobby years ago.
Fair enough.
And he's one of the guys that actually put me onto the right sources and all that.
That's just fascinating.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to give you another round of applause. Have you got a game yet?
I do. Thank you very much.
No, I thought you did.
You've already offered me two. I know.
Well, that goes to show where my enthusiasms lie, doesn't it? I'll tell you what, it's like a hack, this. If you want to get the Mystery Hour board game, then phone in and speak a bit of Anglo-Saxon. I'm a sucker for it.
Yeah,
we'll have another round of applause going. Stay safe.
Much,
mind how you go. And if you can't sleep tonight, try counting. Skiap! Rick's in Stourbridge. Rick, question or answer?
I got a question.
Carry on.
When you're in something like Ant Dec's show and you put a question out...
Phone line's a bit weird. What's happened to your phone line? I don't know what's happened to your phone.
Hello, can you hear me? Still
that's better,
spot?
Yeah. Well done. Carry on.
When on the television, when they open the lines for a quiz...
Yes.
They always have to have a phone line you can phone,
yes.
A text message...
Yes.
...or a P.O. box number.
Yes.
Why is the P.O. box number always Derby?
Is it always the same P.O. box number?
I cannot answer that question, but it is always Derby.
Fair enough.
It's ITV, it's also Channel 5 as well. So why Derby? Why not London?
I think that there will be one company that handles this. Literally one company that handles all TV competitions where there is a legal requirement to offer people the opportunity to submit a free, because the text and phone lines will be premium, but you can always enter these competitions for free. And I don't know what the ruling is based on, what the law is, what the precedent for that is, or the rationale for that is, or the provenance indeed of that law is. But the only answer that makes sense to me would be that there's one company that runs that option for all TV competitions, and it is in Derby. It must
be. That's not a definitive, so that's just your opinion, James.
I mean, this is true, although I find as I get older, the line between definitive and opinion gets ever thinner, Rick. But you're quite right. That I do not know that for sure.
You could be right. It sounds right.
It sounds better than plausible. It's almost Occam's razor territory, isn't it? Or, you know, once you've eliminated the impossible. You're on. Okay. Why? Is it always Derby? Of course, someone could ring in and say, I saw one yesterday, and it was Hemel Hempstead, and then the whole thing falls apart.
Oh, no, it's not. I've been seeing this for years and many, many years.
Derby.
Many years.
And do you ever enter? Do you ever do it?
Usually by text. If I don't, I wouldn't write in, though. By text.
Even though it's free?
Yes.
Yeah? Oh, that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't. You probably find out not many actually probably do it that way.
I'd love to know if anyone's ever won.
Maybe some of your old dears.
Imagine if you won. Has anyone ever won? So there's you sending off your premium rate text every day, and someone around the corner has just sent a stamped address postcard or something, and they've won £50,000 and a holiday in Tenerife.
Yes, you never see advertised, do you?
I'll find out. Well, I'll try. Why is it always Derby? The TV competitions that allow you to submit a postal entry, the address is always in Derby. Why? 0345 6060 973. Paul says, why didn't the ITV continuity announcer, it's Jason, wasn't it, get a Ray Liotta? And then Paul adds, I may need the Ray Liotta explaining. Because there's loads of them. We'd already heard from Gordon, whose dad did it, and I named two in the call, or at least one in the... So it needs to be... And it was close. I won't lie. It was close to a Ray Liotta. But he's not on air again until February the 29th. And today is February the 22nd. So that means there's at least another week's worth of continuity announcers at that single station alone. So there's too many of them for it to merit a Ray Liotta, Paul. It's got to be more remarkable than that, is the short and largely unsatisfying answer to your question. So these questions need answers. What's the best conspiracy theory, or biggest, that turned out to be true? Or any, actually. We've done that one. Is there a species that is supposed to mate for life, but actually didn't once? Like a penguin left a penguin. 0345 606 0973. Lucy is convinced that her daughter has been told not to put a cold flannel on her grandson's forehead when he has a fever. Why? Not why is she convinced, but why has she been told that? 0345 606 0973. As a helium canister empties, does it become heavier or lighter? 0345 606 0973. And why are all of the addresses for TV competition postal entries in Derby? 0345 606 0973. It's 12:45.
As Helen opened her Amazon parcel, her stomach filled with butterflies, rapid air technology and a grill mode feature, this air fryer tickled Helen's taste buds for a price lower than she'd ever imagined. 5 stars from Helen. With star reviews from you and star prices from us, start your search on Amazon today. Shop hundreds of big deals right now at AO. There are huge savings on electricals big and small from the hottest brands like Hotpoint, Hisense and De'Longhi. Whether you're buying in distress, to refresh, or just need it express, we've got what you need at great prices and finance options that work for you. Discover even more deals from the UK's most trusted electrical retailer. Shop now at AO.com. To verify, visit AO.com/trust.
As Helen opened her Amazon parcel, her stomach filled with butterflies, rapid air technology and a grill mode feature, this air fryer tickled Helen's taste buds for a price lower than she'd ever imagined. 5 stars from Helen. With star reviews from you and star prices from us, start your search on Amazon today.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
It's 12:49. I think I have to tell you what happened then, don't I? Okay, sorry. Just bear with me a moment. Put something. Have we not got an emergency tape or so? Play a bit of music. Have we got a jingle or a clip? I had a mouthful of melon. Well, that'll go out on YouTube now, won't it? Will that go? Oh, no. Oh, that's terrible. Well, if you care enough to find out, you can have a look later. It doesn't go live. YouTube's not live. It's not like a live feed. It goes out later. So we could edit. Can we edit it out? How hard would it be to edit that out? What do you mean you're not editing it? It's my show. I don't want it going. I don't want people to see me doing that with a melon. That could get career ending, that kind of thing. Anyway, I do apologise for that little snafu as we returned from the break there. I was simultaneously negotiating a melon and having a conversation with the producer and getting prepared for the next stage of the programme. And they say that men can't multitask. Grant's in Woking. Grant, question or answer?
It's an answer, James. How are you?
Very well indeed. Carry on.
So, have you ever heard of MK Ultra?
Is it a toothpaste?
No, it isn't. It's an actual conspiracy theory that turned out to be true.
Oh, brilliant. Go on, tell me more.
Yeah. So, I've got to be really quick because I've got to jump to a meeting in a moment.
Okay.
But I'll give you the quick details. Basically, post-World War II, the CIA are in the Cold War. America's in the Cold War. They commissioned the CIA to start looking at ways to mind control people or like brainwash them and do all of this stuff. And they start experimenting with drugs and other sorts of stuff, particularly LSD, to experiment on Americans and stuff like that to see if they can brainwash them, mind control them, or anything else like that. Most of it is kept hidden underground, but there's people that think that something is going on, and then it ends up getting disclosed in the 70s. I thought it was the 80s, but I just double checked. But it was post-Watergate. It got disclosed that the CIA were attempting to mind control people.
They had indeed sought to use drugs for government mind control.
Precisely, that's it.
I love it, and that means that people got dosed without knowing.
I think it's not funny, is it?
Kid at college never recovered from an LSD trip. It was horrible. Absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
Well, qualifications?
I was into conspiracies and all that when I was a kid. I'm completely fine now.
All right, well done. Big round of applause for Grant, please. Good luck at the meeting. Of course, speaking of conspiracy theories, the Trump-appointed prosecutor looking into ludicrous allegations made about Joe Biden and his son is currently looking at claims from the man they've arrested for lying that he was given the false information by Russian intelligence, which is pretty close to a conspiracy theory coming true, except it's not the conspiracy theory that the conspiracy theorists wanted to be true. It's the conspiracy theory that the people who generally laugh and point at conspiracy theorists knew might well be true. allegations about the Bidens coming out of dealings in Ukraine, having their roots, it would appear, with Russian intelligence. Completely false allegations. Not that that will stop anybody in Donald Trump's camp from continuing to believe that they're true, up to and quite possibly including Liz Truss. Martin's in Glasgow. Martin, question or answer?
I have an answer.
Carry on.
I have an example of adultery in the animal kingdom.
Fantastic. That's the phrase we were looking for. And I like the way you sound like a Presbyterian preacher when you say it. Adultery in the animal kingdom. I can see the fire and brimstone behind you, Martin.
Yeah,
go on.
My middle class Scottish accent is called that. So my wife is a zookeeper, and she was looking after penguins for a period of time.
Oh, yeah.
We had Demo and Pete were a couple. They were partnered up for their adult lives. And enter Cliff.
No.
He was a new penguin. And he caught Demo's eye, and she left Pete. She left him, moved out.
And got on with Cliff?
Yep, Cliff was the new mate.
Cliff and Demo sitting in the tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G?
Yeah, something like that.
And how did Pete deal with this? Do we know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not 100% sure if penguins feel emotions like that, but he was definitely down in the dumps.
He wouldn't be very happy about it.
No.
What zoo was it, if you don't mind me asking?
It's Blair Drummond Safari Park.
Oh, okay.
Stirling.
Yes. No, I haven't been there because I've been to Edinburgh Zoo and they do a wonderful behind the scenes trip that I did with my daughter, of which the highlight is the penguins. You get to feed the penguins and stuff. They're magnificent little creatures, aren't they?
They are.
Really good. Well, that's a brilliant answer. I mean, not only have you provided evidence of it actually happening, but somehow the fact you've provided names gives it a whole new dimension of delight. Demo, Cliff and Pete, there's a film there, isn't there, to be made, waddling off over the sunset while Pete looks on disconsolately. Round of applause for Martin, please. Which you must share with your wife, Martin. Fair's fair. That's 12:54 is the time. Matthew's in Orpington. Matthew, question or answer?
Answer, please, James.
Carry on.
So it's about the not being told to use a cold flannel when your child has a temperature. So the caller was right in saying that there's a risk of having a seizure or febrile convulsion.
Really?
But yeah, so especially in children. And it can be obviously very traumatic.
Of course.
So, they've done several trials where they've compared just using a cold flannel or sponge versus giving paracetamol or Nurofen, and basically the cold flannel and sponge works for about an hour and a half,
yes,
and then the temperature comes back, whereas paracetamol or Nurofen, they last a lot longer. So basically it's just not as effective as giving medication. And so what they don't want is the sort of confusing message where parents get falsely reassured by using the flannel.
Oh, so tiny risk of convulsion, febrile convulsion, but actually more pertinently, paracetamol much better.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't want, so someone uses the cold flannel, they take the temperature, it's come down and they feel reassured.
And
then actually in an hour's time, it goes back up.
Qualifications?
So I'm a doctor and treated kids with lots of temperatures in ED.
That'll do nicely. So Lucy was right, and now we know why. Round of applause for Matthew, please. Dr. Matthew, no less. Thank you, Matthew.
Matthew's fine.
Cheers. 12:56 is the time. Rob's in Sidcup. Rob, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on.
Why is all competitions in Derby?
Yeah, go on.
What?
Well, you know what, don't you?
Why are all the competitions in Derby?
Yeah, but I love that you're pretending to be a normal caller.
There are two companies who do competition verifications for accounts, and they are Nunky in Derby and the Royal Mail, and most broadcasters use Nunky.
And they're based in Derby, so that PO box is in Derby. So I was right, but I couldn't go definitive, as Rick pointed out, because I didn't have the evidence in place. But you've even named the company. Qualifications?
It's my job.
Compliance.
I work in broadcast compliance.
Round of applause for Rob, please. Don't go away. Have you always worked in compliance, broadcast compliance, Rob?
No. I've worked in the media for many years.
Have you ever worked in radio?
Yes.
Have you?
Yes.
Any
wonderful time.
Any achievements in radio that my listeners might be interested in?
greatest achievement in radio, yeah. I believe, as it's now in print, I can say it, is I gave you your job.
Who, me?
You.
You put James O'Brien on the radio?
So I'm either the most loved or the most hated man.
It's one or the other. 52-48 last time I checked. Another round of applause for the magnificent Rob Hooker, please. It's been too long. I'll see you soon, Rob. Take care. 12:57 is the time. Robert's in Manchester. Robert, question or answer?
Hello, it's an answer, but I'm not in Manchester, I'm in Kent.
Well, I'm sorry, I can't take this call then. I've already reached my Kent quotient for the week. I'll have to find someone. No, Carrie, you must have been in Manchester last time you rang me. Anyway, quickly, we're going to run out of time. Go on.
Yeah. No, it's about the helium when you're emptying out again. The density changes. It goes back to schoolboy physics and the old Boyle's law and all that, where the volume of gas increases as the pressure decreases. So in effect, you've got more in the bottle. The bottle's a fixed volume. You're putting more in as you charge it, so it gets heavier. And obviously, converse to that, as you empty it, it gets lighter. Yeah.
But there's no vacuum involved because it's never completely empty.
No.
The helium has expanded because it's no longer pressurised, so it can't get forced out the top. Yeah. Qualifications?
I'm an engineer. I'm in refrigeration.
Phone line's gone funny, so take your round of applause before it falls apart. That's fantastic. Well done, Robert. I'm going to give it to the penguin guy, but I wrote down Cliff, which was the name of a penguin, as opposed to the name of the caller. What was the caller called? Martin. Not Cliff. I mean, you can share it with Cliff if he wants. No, Cliff's happy. Cliff's the one that ran off with Damo. It's Pete that's not got any partner. He might. Anyway, that's enough. Martin gets the ball game. That's it from me for another day. If you missed any of today's programme, you can listen to it on Global Player, where you can rewind and indeed pause live radio. Download it for free from your app store or head to globalplayer.com. Coming up at 4 on LBC, it's Tom Swarbrick. But now it's time for Sheila Fogarty.